Well, hello, listeners. Welcome to the ATG podcast, the podcast about all things Corona in the weightlifting world, apparently now.
Yeah,
I'm joined by...
Actually, this is a very Corona-friendly podcast setup because none of us is actually with another person right now.
We have to take all the precautions.
We are all in different places, so we're taking precautions. I'm wearing a mask just to be doubly safe.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about masks later on, but first let me introduce everybody who's on this podcast right now. So we have Dr. Ned Aram, Dr. Boffa, yeah. And Dr. Jen Marchese.
Intern and myself, Jen Gregor Marchese. Winter.
And yeah, we thought we're just going to talk about the most recent news, which Ned just dropped a couple of hours ago, or like an hour ago, really, which is that Junior Worlds got cancelled because of coronavirus fears.
Does anyone know the last time a world championships was canceled, like junior or senior?
Has it ever happened?
I don't know if it's ever happened, honestly.
I mean, I think that there were some canceled during like World War II, because I don't think I have that full set of strength and health.
Yeah.
And I've looked back through because I have, you know, the
Wait, you're not even kidding.
No, I'm serious.
He's being serious, yeah.
Yeah, well, the Olympics were canceled, they didn't exist those 2 years, so I can't imagine they'd hold all of the other events and then not have the Olympics, you know?
Mm. Well, it was a different system then, you know, it wasn't quite the same thing where it's like, oh, you know, you need to earn points at the 1943 World Championship to go to, you know, 1944 or whatever. But I think it was canceled not because of the Olympics being canceled, but I think it was canceled just because of, you know, people who would compete were currently shooting each other. But No, I really think that that's the last time, because I've looked through those strength and healths and pretty much I don't really know, like, you know, I don't, you know, like Junior Worlds in some year or something like that. But I don't think there's been like a Senior Worlds canceled really since the World War II range. So I would imagine that there probably hasn't been anything canceled for this sort of, you know, sort of like global emergency or whatever.
I don't even know since when Junior Worlds are a thing.
I want to say it was in the 70s was when they started to hold Junior Worlds.
So just when Yasha Fei was about to
start coaching. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah, right around when he retired.
Yeah. So this news dropped just a couple of days after the IWF announced that the first East Asian Championships is going to be postponed. And
They said postponed, but if you look at the calendar, it said just canceled. So I think it's just canceled. Yeah.
That sucks. I was always dreaming about going to the East Asian Championships.
Yeah. Mm.
And now we have Junior Worlds not happening. So you got the notes first from, doesn't matter from whom, I guess, but you got the letter. And now the way.
I mean, I can tell you what happened. Basically, I was talking with one of the people from the Taiwanese Federation or Chinese Taipei, you know, got to keep China happy. Does the ATG podcast believe in the One China policy?
No, we believe in Taiwan.
All right, podcast was just banned in China. You heard it here first. Yep. There we go.
We've all been canceled in China now.
Those are our second biggest audience after Gregor's mom. Fuck, we're screwed now.
By the way, my mom, guys, she recently came up to me with Spotify open and the ATG podcast was on there, and she asked if there was like a German translation for it.
Oh no, we forgot. We were saying we were going to all learn a German phrase for her because we screwed up.
I was going to do like one sentence of German each for everybody. Oh, damn.
I know the word flug.
Oh, yeah. Flug. It's a good flug. By the way, we canceled all our flugs now.
Yeah. Due to the flug.
Okay, so where do we start with this now? We need some kind of structure.
Well, I was going to say, basically what happened was I was talking with the woman from the Taiwanese Federation. Mm-hmm. She was asking me about questions about the Arnold. She was like, hey, are you going to go? Blah, 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 blah. Just various, not even coronavirus related questions. And I was basically saying that I wasn't planning on going to the Arnold, blah, 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 all this stuff. And then she was like, oh, she's like, I literally just got an email like a minute ago that said Junior World just canceled. I was like, wait, are you serious? And so then I emailed Phil because Phil responds to emails in like 4 seconds. And literally before like I'd even sent the email, Phil had responded. And
that is Phil Andrews from the CEO of USA Weightlifting.
Yeah.
Right. Who's literally the most responsive person on email / WhatsApp in the world.
He responds to things at like literally any hour of the day or night.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's absurd. I don't know how he does it. But anyway, so Phil confirmed it and, you know, that was it. And then the IWF posted it on their website. But yeah, Junior World's canceled.
Well, I guess the question is going forward, I have a hard time imagining that something in Russia and something in Uzbekistan wouldn't be canceled that's closer to China.
So well, let's go back one step because...
The closeness doesn't really matter. I don't personally think, but I agree with you. I think that they will be canceled, but I don't think the proximity in China is a big factor.
So Asian Championships was first scheduled to be in Kazakhstan, in Astana, now in Nur-Sultan. And just a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I don't know, maybe longer time ago, it was relocated to Uzbekistan, Tashkent. Also because of Corona, because Kazakhstan was closing its borders. Was that the reason?
Yeah, Kazakhstan had basically said that the certain countries basically wouldn't be allowed in, one of them being China. And so because of that, they couldn't hold it in Kazakhstan if like the Chinese athletes and who knows which others, probably like South Korea and this and that, weren't allowed in. So they had to move it to somewhere that would allow them in. And then, anyway, I just think that they had to move it because of that. But, you know, I did actually ask the president of the Russian Weightlifting Federation, Maxim Agapitov, basically if he thought Euros would happen. And he, as of like 30 minutes ago, he said, yep, you know, we still plan on having it. And we're still, you know, we're still on schedule, whatever. So. Anyway, it's a possibility, I guess, that Euros will happen. But I personally think that either it'll get canceled or a lot of countries just won't go. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm going to wait with my flights and hotel booking. I'm definitely, we talked about this earlier, I will apply for the visa just as scheduled. But I'm not going to book any flights because... I can get refunds on my flights within Europe here. All my cheap flights are non-refundable. So my Bucharest flights, yeah, I lost, thankfully, just like 250 or 300 euros on these. Could have been worse.
Can you transfer that to a different flight? Oh, that sucks.
Because it was Ryanair and it's like non-refundable. And
yeah. I just booked my flight to Romania like moments that before sucks. You sent me that. Yeah.
You have 24 hours though, right? I mean, you can, I think, isn't there a 24 hour?
Yeah, I have 24 hours. And I also got the trip insurance, which has in the past never been fruitful.
Wow,
but
never,
in this
ever.
Specific instance, I read it and this qualifies. So even if it wasn't 24 hours, I'm pretty sure I could cancel it with a marginal penalty.
Very nice. Maybe I should consider one of these insurances for my upcoming flights then.
Honestly, they've never come in handy. You know, there's always some fucking ridiculous loophole. But this specific thing, they make mention of it on a lot of the websites that, like, because of coronavirus, you should add this on and this would qualify and blah, blah, blah.
Ned, what do you have done with your flights?
So I basically... I was able to cancel my Bucharest flights pretty easily. It cost... 65 Canadian, which I'm guessing is like 50 something American dollars, which isn't that bad. I mean, you know, worse things have happened. I haven't canceled my Euro/Asians flights yet because I think it's too soon to cancel because I don't think they're canceled for sure. And it doesn't really benefit me to cancel today versus canceling in a week or two. But there's one flight that I have booked on Uzbekistan Airways that I think is going to be proved to be very difficult to cancel. But, you know, it is what it is. Like, if I have trouble canceling and end up having to eat a couple $1,000s and stuff or whatever, I think that might be, you know, just the cost of doing business or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's better than getting stuck in a country with a bad healthcare system.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Bafa, I don't, I guess I don't talk to Jen that much, like on messaging apps or whatever, but I was talking with Bafa and Greg just a few days ago. And I remember saying, like, I don't even really want to go on the trips to places like Tashkent. And it's not that I have anything against Tashkent or whatever. I mean, the people are friendly, but I really, really don't want to show up at the airport on my way out of Tashkent with some sort of fever and then get quarantined there for like a month and end up basically, even if I'm not sick with the actual coronavirus, I just don't want to be stuck in Tashkent for a month, you know? So like, to me, it's like really risky to be traveling across borders right now, not because I'm so worried about being infected, but because I'm super worried about just getting stuck. So that's like, that's a big concern for me.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's clear, like, the coronavirus isn't all, I mean, not that it, to minimize it, but it's not the worst outcome in terms of illnesses. But you're just, like you said, you're going to be stuck, you know, on a cruise ship in Tashkent, in Bucharest or something.
It's kind of like an H1N1 level, you know, like it's mostly people who are infirmed or elderly or young. I mean, not to say it's not serious,
this could wipe out the entire referee board of the IWF. That's the only thing.
It's true.
Because it mostly affects the elderly. And so we could, I think maybe that was the concern, is we'd have a shortage of qualified Cat 1 and Cat 2 refs.
I mean, here's the thing about H1N1. If you look at H1N1, they think that it infected 2 billion people in the world.
What?
2 billion people have had H1N1.
Jeez.
So
that's crazy.
You know, if you look at the scale of this, the confirmed, no, I think the actual number of people who have been infected is a lot higher than the confirmed cases, because obviously there's like people sitting at home with like a runny nose who are just like, don't go to the hospital.
Sure.
But there's still like less than 100,000 cases confirmed in the world. 2 billion and 100,000 are very, very different numbers.
What was the course of time that number is accounting for?
You know, that's a good question, because there still are, you know, H1N1 strains going around even now, you know, depending on which area of the world you're in. So it's essentially like a permanent part of, you know, the flu in the world at this point for H1N1. But I believe that it was literally a huge amount of spread within the first year from like the 2009 kind of like outbreak. But I can't say the exact number and time frame.
I guess my next question is going to be about the Olympics, and then if they were continuing with the Olympics, like how the qualification process might change if these events are all canceled.
I have some ideas about that. But.
So for one thing, this is, if you needed the Junior Worlds, which was a gold event, like this is huge.
Yeah,
seriously, they have to do some kind of adjustment to the procedures right now, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, that's what I think. They will have to change the procedures. I'm getting some weird background noise. What was that? Someone talking? It sounded like Siri.
I don't hear it.
Oh, yeah, my Siri went off.
I heard that.
I was going to say, I heard Siri.
I heard that, too.
Yeah.
But I wonder, like, how is it going to be like the CrossFit Games, where as long as you like film yourself lifting the weights in a platform and then, like,
literally,
you know,
phoning it in?
Literally.
Can I give my can I give my guess?
Yeah.
What I think they should do. Here's what I think is the only fair thing to do. It's to require a meet in the first period, require a meet in the second period, and to only count your next best score after that. So essentially, it'll go from essentially 6 required meets to 5 required meets, and 3 scores will count instead of 4 scores.
It actually sounds very reasonable.
So you won't need a third period competition?
You won't need a third period meet. You'll just need five total. Because at this point, you know, if you didn't have five, then it's kind of justified, I think, in my opinion, to just say, well, you know, so whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And that then it's just three scores. And if someone doesn't have a good score in the third period, you know, it is what it is. They can't complain that they didn't, you know, it's like, well, I was planning on putting up a great fourth score. Well, it's like, well, too bad. You know what I mean? It's like you have to do the fairest thing to as many people as possible. And I think three scores with 2-2 and then your next best one is just the only way you can do it that's fair at this point. Because I think, like I said, they will either cancel these other meets in April, or a lot of people won't be able to show up, or their country federations will decide not to send them, or there's a lot of extenuating circumstances here, even if they decide to hold some or all of those meets. And here's the other thing too, if they cancel one, how can you really even justify having the others?
Yeah.
You know, because then people are getting like more gold opportunities than other people.
So what are gold events left? We have Asians. Are the Asians a gold? Asians are silver, right?
They're all gold.
Continentals are gold.
Yeah. Continentals are gold.
There's all five continental championships are still happening.
You should read the guide to qualification.
have you read the ATP guide?
Not since I wrote it. Nope.
But all of them, the African championships, Oceania. I don't know. I never know whether to say Oceania or Oceania, but Oceania championships, the, you know, Pan Ams, Asians, Europeans, all five of them are gold meets that a lot of people were relying on as their, you know, best score for the third period. So, like I said, you can't, in my opinion, keep the same system at this point.
I can't imagine a scenario that it would be for the Olympics. I mean, that they would be rescheduling and not fully canceling it either, because I think it's something like a year that goes into, you know, infrastructure and a ton of money that goes into building that out. Like it would definitely just be canceled, I think.
See, well, I don't think they're going to cancel the Olympics.
Yeah. You don't think so?
I've been saying for probably over a week now, at least to the people I talked to, like, I think I only posted it on Reddit today, so that's the first time I publicly said it, but I've been saying for a little while now that I think what they'll do, and this is what would make the most sense to me, is to essentially make it audience-less. And to have it still go on, because I think that there's too much sponsor and TV money at stake for them to just straight up cancel it.
Sure,
and it becomes a much more controllable event when you only have athletes and coaches, because, you know, let's say there's like 100,000 athletes and coaches, controlling that number of people, is a lot easier than controlling like millions of people, you know? And not only that, but the proximity of people like waiting in lines and going to events and people like, you know, going to see the Shibuya crossing and all this other stuff, you know, there's just going to be you're basically throwing people into a situation where there is going to be significant viral spread. And the thing is like, you know, we could all make these guesses like from like an epidemiological perspective of like, oh, you know, well, it's only like the seasonal flu, so who cares, blah, blah, blah. Like, and that might be true, but honestly, people, even the experts don't really know that right now.
Sure.
You know, like no one in the world knows the actual, like real fatality rate and like how to treat this for people with complications. I mean, just the fact that someone died like this morning in the U.S. from this shows that even with like really good healthcare, I mean, places like Italy and places like South Korea and all these other places like haven't been able to stop people from dying from this. And I know that's the same with the flu, but they don't really know what these rates are and stuff. I don't think that they're going to be able to justify having all these people come and watch sports.
Well, I can't think of a worst case scenario in terms of a pandemic like that. You're talking about like the highest level, like international event of any kind that we have. Plus it's in this huge, you know, metropolitan city that has a lot of international traveling to begin with. Like there isn't, I couldn't think of a worse thing. Like, I can't see how they'd risk having the at least the audience there, as you're saying.
Right. I think that they can't really risk having the audience there. So, I mean, personally, I don't think that they lose that much from ticket revenue when you compare sponsor revenue and you compare TV revenue. You know what I mean? Like, of those things, ticket revenue, it's obviously a lot of money. Like, this is going to hurt the IOC and it's going to hurt the Tokyo Olympic Committee. And
yeah, but then they have $5-10 million ad spots and stuff. That's way higher.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know about five. Do you mean like a single 30-second spot? That's more like commercial. That's more like Super Bowl level. But I mean, the thing is that companies like NBC pay billions of dollars to broadcast one Olympics over a 2-week period,
yeah,
or a 3-week period, whatever the Olympics are. But I would assume that they're, I mean, I don't know exactly what NBC's contract says. So there might be more stuff than what I know here, but I would assume that there's, you know, provisions in there that if the Olympics don't happen for whatever reason, that NBC would get some or all of their money back. Mm-hmm. And I think that that amount of money is another level to someone like the IOC. I mean, the IOC, if you think about it, they don't have that many opportunities for revenue, you know, and they're not poor because the Olympics sell for such a large amount. But the Summer Olympics are a really, really big part of their revenue. Mm-hmm. And I think that they would be in big, big trouble to just not have it happen at all. But if they just don't have audiences, then I feel like they can justify to their sponsors, like, hey, we're doing everything we can to minimize or limit the spread. We're going to be as prepared as we can be. We're going to have hundreds or thousands of like quarantine beds set up for any athletes that show any signs of symptoms. We're going to be ready with, like, you know, 10,000 testing kits ready for anyone who shows any signs. We'll test everyone on the way in. You know, we'll test everyone at events. While, you know what I mean? Like, there's things that they can do to kind of justify to the sponsors and the TV people that they're not putting on a dangerous event. But if they allow an audience, then it's completely uncontrollable. And there's going to be tons of press coverage that's like, are the Olympics acting irresponsibly by holding this event and like encouraging audiences to show up and rub shoulders with each other? And, you know, people are touching this and touching that, you know, like, I feel like the PR of holding an event with an audience is more than they can, like, more, it's more negative PR than they could really go through, in my opinion.
Yeah. So the question is, what is stopping weightlifting first, German documentaries or the coronavirus? At this point,
maybe the IWF put out the coronavirus to divert attention away from the German documentary.
Damn!
They were like, we need to stop it. You know, we've got 90 days to get Ayan back into power. We need to divert attention away from all these accusations. Let's start a virus.
The Bafa propaganda machine.
This is what I think. This is one of my many conspiracy theories. One
of
your many, yes.
Bafa has a bunch of conspiracy
about the coronavirus.
Yeah.
So if they, you were saying earlier, Nat, in terms of fairness for qualifying, I wonder if they, and I don't know if you meant this, but do they qualify all continental championships? Do they cancel all of them if they cancel one? Like, can you host? If you cancel Asians, do you have to cancel
all of them? Seems unfair, right?
Yeah.
I think you do have to cancel all of them. And I think the reason is that you can't give, like, let's say you're talking about someone like Maddie Rogers or someone like that. Okay. She has literally one gold event possibility in the third trimester.
Yeah.
Right. You know, how would it be fair if, let's say, Maddie's competing for a spot against, like, you know, someone from like Kazakhstan or something, you know what I mean? How could you hold Asians and give that person a gold event?
Yeah.
And Maddie doesn't get a gold event, you know, like it just doesn't seem fair. Like at this point, I think what you have to do is you have to just reduce the qualifying requirements. I think it will still be fair to require a first period and second period score because everyone knew about those and there was no virus threat at that point. So you know, I think that that's the only real fair way to do it. I mean, otherwise, it just seems really unfair to cancel some and not others. And I mean, I do think that there is a possibility that these events will still happen. If you read the IWF's cancellation for Romania, they cite part of it as like the age of the athletes. You know, so it might be part of this is this concern of like, you know, sending a bunch of 16-year-olds for like a non-essential meet into a place where they might be able to fly in, might not be able to fly in, whatever. Mm-hmm. They might say, well, listen, these are senior athletes and these are required events for our Olympic qualification, blah, blah, blah. We're just going to go ahead with it. I think there is a chance that these events will still happen. Personally, I hope they don't. Because, like I said, I don't really want to be in Tashkent and trying to deal with having a fever in Tashkent, you know, where people don't speak my language.
And it will happen eventually. We've been to Tashkent, and I definitely had a fever and more.
Yeah.
I get sick every time I get on an airplane. No question.
These trips are brief. I mean, in Rome, everybody was sick. Everybody I ran into was sick. Piros Dimas was wearing a mask during Harrison's session. Or I forget if it was Harrison's or Jordan's, but like everybody.
It was Harrison's.
That is such Harrison's a great example of how bad of a situation it is to have. Like everybody in that entire venue was sick by like day four. It was crazy.
Also, nobody in the world washes their hands. Nobody. No. I've been in so many bathrooms with people and I'm like, well, that famous athlete didn't wash their hands. This person didn't. Like, nobody washes. And like masks are great, but washing your hands is probably even more important. Washing your hands and not touching your face is even more important. And
yeah, you could have a mask on and then like rub your eye with your dirty infected hand. And then that negates your mask altogether.
I think I watched somebody at the Roma Cup with a mask sneeze into his hand, taking a mask off, and then offer to shake my hand. Like, so, I mean, this is what we're dealing with. We're like, it's just, unless we're in bubbles, like, it's just not possible. Everybody's bad habits are this virus loves the every virus loves the fact that people just don't wash their hands and we touch each other.
You can't just come in and like they're not going to rub down every single bar and plate and disinfect everything that everybody's sharing. I mean, I just can't see that happening.
No.
Yeah,
no,
I mean, there's absolutely no way to stop the spread of something like this. Really, even if people are careful and limit their social contact and don't do this and don't do that, there's really no way to stop the spread of it. I mean, you can slow it down by saying, okay, you know, you can't go to sporting events, you can't go to this, you can't go to the movies, you can't do this and that, and blah, blah, blah. But, like, you can't stop it for sure, because, like, the virus will still find ways to spread. But especially you can't stop it at a competition where, like, people are sweating and, you know, they're all like touching this and touching that. Every single person's touching the chalk bucket. You know, it's like, okay, like, you know, what are we going to do? Like, you know, clean it off with alcohol every time? Or it's like,
gets a new bar on the platform. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you can't stop the spread of it at a competition like this. If there's someone who has it, or really not just the coronavirus, but if someone has some sort of, you know, transmissible virus or something like that, like they're going to give it to the other people who are around them. And that's just kind of how it's going to be. And especially, you know, very few to zero people have any sort of immunity to this. And that's one of the reasons why it's so transmissible. One of the reasons that a flu might not transmit at quite the same rate is because some people might have some level of immunity to it if they got like a flu vaccine that matches up to that virus. So, you know, you have some degree of like herd immunity with something like flu, but with something like this, no one has immunity. So it just 100% of the people who get exposed to it are probably, you know, coming
as,
down.
As we have seen with the Iranian government officials, which you've shared.
That is unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. Like, any bets how Iran will go down in future?
You know, so there was, I saw a piece on, now obviously everyone's seen the thing, like the picture of the of the Iran official at the press conference where he was like wiping his brow and stuff. Mm-hmm. But like a day before that, he was giving an interview on TV and he was just coughing nonstop.
Oh my God.
And the woman sitting across from him was clearly just like, what is going on? Like, just, she had this look on her face, but I think she just couldn't say anything or didn't want to say anything or who knows what. But anyway, yeah, she was looking kind of shocked. I'm sure she's got it by now because he was just
100%
spraying the virus everywhere.
Yeah. On the flight back from Rome, the guy across the aisle from me coughed for 10 hours. And that's all I could think of. I was like, this, everybody in like a 6 foot radius, whatever he has, is probably getting that. Yep.
Did you get sick? Or were you already sick?
I got sick, but it was like 2 weeks later or like a week and a half later. So maybe that was
it's not from
thing.
That one.
Nah, I mean, it seems a little long, but I was amazed that I actually made it through Rome without getting sick because so many people were sick in Rome.
I mean, we shared a room. I was sick.
Yeah.
And remember in Ashgabat, the whole athletes hotel? Like, everybody got the shits.
Oh, my God. Everybody got stuff.
That was, I think, the first conversation I ever had with Gregor. I was like, hi, I'm Gregor Winter. I run ATG. You're going to get diarrhea in Thailand. He's like, you're not making it out of this without diarrhea.
Oh, my God.
But everybody. I did. I have an ironclad constitution. I didn't get sick any of these trips so far.
That's remarkable. I didn't get sick in Thailand, which I was surprised
at. Jen, didn't you say you get sick on every airplane?
I do get sick on every airplane except for Worlds and Italy. That was it. Those two times, okay. The only times that I've... But normally, right. I get a bad sinus infection and the dry air.
Yeah.
Ashgabat, all the athletes, I'm so glad we weren't in the athlete hotel because all of them. I got sick, but I think I know what I got. I got sick because I foolishly thought eating unrefrigerated hot dog meat at the venue was a good idea. So
I didn't know you got sick.
I got sick in Ashgabat. It was just like a day that I got sick in Ashgabat. In Thailand, I didn't get sick. I felt fine. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. I had like a couple uneasy days because I mean, this is my fault. I think I maxed out how many times I could eat the chicken wrap that was outside the door. You know what I'm talking about? So I was eating like four a day. So like that might have been my body just disagreeing with it. But as soon as I stopped, I cut it out and it wasn't like official sickness. It plateaued and then it went away.
Those were good though. That was the best food at the venue.
It's true.
It's the only food at the venue.
Also true.
Yeah.
Did you eat the hot dogs on the stick, Nat, that were next door? I forget if you had one of those.
I might have had it once, but are you talking about the thing that you would feed to the stray dogs?
Yes, the stuff I gave to the dogs. Yeah. Did you eat any of those? I did not.
I definitely wasn't eating them regularly, but it's possible I tried it once when there was like a long line for the chicken wrap. Because there were a couple times I went outside from the training hall and I needed to go to the competition. And, you know, the line for the chicken wrap was like 17 people and it was going to take 40 minutes. So I was like, all right, I guess I'm getting something else. So I don't remember exactly. But I might have had it. I don't think it's likely, though, because I really don't like that sort of stuff. Like kind of like highly processed, like blended meat. You know, I've seen too many of those. Like, have you ever seen that the how it's made?
Hot
dogs? Yes, terrible.
No, I have not.
I loved hot dogs until that day. Like, that is the exact thing that I have in my head that ruined hot dogs for me.
No, like the how it's made hot dogs. Like, you can't in good faith ever go eat any sort of like, you know, processed meat sausage style thing.
Did you ever see how they make, there's another similar thing where they talk about how the chicken nuggets at McDonald's are made.
Oh yeah. I've seen that too. It's disgusting.
Oh, yeah, like, don't they use, they like scrape all the remnants off the bones and carcasses, right? They use like some, they like strain bones and things like that. Right?
Yeah. And then it's not even just what they use, but the process for, they like bleach it a bunch of times and then it's the wrong color. So they dye it. Like it's actually pink and then they make it white and it's not chicken. It's so gross.
Have you ever seen
it? It's going
how...
through like Da Vinci color correction at that point.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this in a while, but, and maybe it's different now, but have you seen how like deli turkeys are made? Like, not when you buy, like, whole breast, but, like, just, like, a log of deli turkey?
No.
They basically, like, they put the turkey breast in something that, like, dissolves the outer layer, and then it allows them to, like, fuse several turkey breasts together and become, like, one turkey, like, one giant turkey breast.
That's for amazing.
Deli turkey.
It's great.
From a scientific standpoint, it's
Gregor's entire diet.
it's kind of disgusting, but
I mean, Gregor is willing to eat stuff that I'm not willing to eat. Like, there have been plenty of times where Gregor and I have been at, like, a particularly disgusting hotel breakfast of some kind, and Gregor sees what is being marketed to him as meat. So he will eat it. I remember when we were at I think it was the 2015 Russian championship, Russian nationals in Staryoskol. And I know Gregor knows what I'm talking about because it was like the hotel breakfast. And we were in this weird hotel that also happened to be it wasn't like a mall, but it was some sort of shopping area sort of thing. And there was this kind of food stand that was apparently the breakfast for our hotel. And we went there and Gregor was eating it like it was just normal. He was like, this meat's pretty good. And it was exactly what we're talking about. Like, it was like cold, soggy, processed sausages that tasted like butt. And Gregor was just eating them. And I'm like, dude, how are you eating this right now? This is disgusting. But he would just down it.
Minimal nutrition.
I mean,
value.
I would rather just not eat, but Gregor was just eating them he was eating them like it was some sort of actual meat. I'm like, Gregor, this isn't meat. What's wrong?
One of the worst breakfasts I had was when I shot Asian juniors in Urganch, Uzbekistan for you.
Oh, yeah.
That hotel was not prepared for breakfast of any sort. Like, they had
a
couple of dry cookies.
What was worse? Isvarani hotel breakfast. Or that breakfast.
Well, in Isvarani, we almost died of starvation because we ran out of oatmeal at some point.
Well, no, but do you remember how the hotel / Sydney 2000 complex or whatever it was called? Do you remember how there was actually some food laid out there in the morning some days?
Yeah, remember in the evening as well, they prepared a couple of plates with slices of meat and stuff.
It was slices of liver.
Ugh.
You remember that?
Ugh. Yeah.
It was literally liver. It was disgusting. Isvarani was pretty bad. Now, I wasn't in Urgent, so I can't really speak to how bad the breakfast was, but I know which hotel I booked you in and it looked terrible, but it was it was the best hotel that either one of us could find that looked like it was remotely close to the venue. And Gregor,
and it turned out the venue wasn't even remotely close because the venue was in a part on Google Maps that was not on Google Maps at that point.
Well, it's where both Gregor and I thought the competition was, and everything that we could find in the documents pointed to this being the competition. Mm. And it was definitely the nicest hotel in that area, but it looked like shit. What was it called? It was called Real Hotel or something?
Yeah, the Real Hotel. And it was pretty expensive. For Uzbekistan standards, it was absurdly expensive. You paid $100
a $130
night.
A night.
And it was... Jeez. This was insane.
Oh, my God.
You're saying Real Hotel? Oh. Like R-E-A-L?
Yeah.
Like, it's a real hotel, we swear.
No. That's literally what it's called. Like, look up Real... URGENCH, Urgent, Uzbekistan, Real Hotel. That's where Gregor stayed for 10 days back in April of 2018.
Man.
Roughest
trips.
What's funny,
I got super sick in the last day.
It looks so sketchy.
It's really bad. Yeah. I wasn't there, but I could tell how bad it was just from looking. But I honestly would have, if there had been a nice place, I would have booked Gregor in the nice place, but I wasn't trying to send him to a shithole. Trust me, there were worse options than Real Hotel.
But, I like that it's a 3-star hotel and they put the 3 stars on the front of the hotel.
Yeah,
that's not even a thing to be proud of.
Yeah, three stars. That would be like Brogan. A hotel just putting like 1.5 stars on Yelp outside of it or something.
Yeah.
Well, survived. I got really sick last day there. Like, insanely sick for like a couple of hours, didn't sleep. I felt brutal the last day. Yeah, I remember I couldn't even keep my eyes open before the plus 105 session. Jeez. That was really, really bad. And then I took a bunch of Dayquil, and that got me through half a session. And man, I had some food poisoning, I guess.
Gregor, have you ever told the story on a podcast of what happened with the lens on the first day there?
No, I have not.
I feel like you tell that story, because that's a pretty funny story. There's honestly like very few like funnier camera mess ups than that story.
Yeah, that was a pretty good mess up moment. Oh my god,
Greg, we're waiting.
So I show up.
At you want to tell it or should I tell it?
Yeah, I paint a picture and then you tell it. So I show up at the venue, and the venue had like natural lighting in there, and it had only natural lighting for the most part. So that means it got pretty dim once light outside, once the sun set. And so I was wondering, man, what should I do? I was messaging Ned. I'm cranking the ISO way up. I really could use an f2.8 lens here. Like, without a lens like this, like, I'm pretty screwed and the footage looks terrible. Right? Well, I think something like that is what I told you.
We should say what happened here. So basically, at the 2018 Euros in Bucharest, at this point, Gregor didn't have any video camera other than his Panasonic FZ1000, which is the camera that he essentially shot from his first meet, which was 2014 Worlds, all the way through for like 3.5 years to, you know, 2018 Europeans in Bucharest. He didn't own any other video cameras. He owned one photo camera and one video camera. Now, I think he had like GoPros or something like that, but he didn't have...
This was my main camera. Like 95% of the videos I put out were filmed on this single lens camera.
The FZ1000 is not an expensive camera. Now, obviously, you can get some good footage out of it because Gregor, you know, put out videos that people like. So who really cares if it's expensive? But the thing is that cheaper cameras can't really record well in low light. Like, yeah. No matter what, you know, it's pretty much like a rule across the board. So what we decided to do in Bucharest was I was like, hey, what I'll do instead of flying home with all my cameras, I'm going to leave you with some equipment, because Gregor was going to shoot that Asian Youth and Juniors event essentially for Hooker. And so what I did was I gave Gregor a GH5, which is it's a much better camera for shooting in low light. It's not like a low light monster like some cameras are, but it's a lot better than the FZ1000. And so I gave Gregor that to shoot, and by like gave, I mean I lent it to Gregor to shoot the event in Uzbekistan, and I was going to get it back from him at like Junior Worlds or some other event. So in addition to that, I gave him two lenses, one of which is a kind of like lens that can go very wide to very zoomed in. And that was more so meant for flexibility of sitting wherever. Mm. And that's also good for training hall sorts of stuff, because you can kind of like be close to someone or be far away. And then I gave him another lens, which was a 2.8 aperture lens, which was really meant for competition. So keep in mind, Gregor had one camera and two lenses. And he goes to the event and he puts on the training hall lens at the event. And he's like, man, it's really, really dark. And he's like, I really wish I had a 2.8 lens with me. And he's saying this to me like over iMessage. And I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? I gave you a 2.8 lens. And then he's like, oh my God, right, right. Yeah, now I remember that now. It's literally in his camera bag. You know what I mean?
It was. Like, so here's the thing. This 2.8 lens, if you take the cap off, or if you look from the outside, it doesn't sit anywhere. I should have known it, but I was looking at the lens. Obviously, I was like checking it, but it does not say on the outside.
It just says it on the front, basically.
Yeah.
It says it on like the part where you put on a filter. But anyway, what's funny is that I basically, my thought process or theory at the time was basically that Gregor had only shot an FZ-1000. Yeah. You know, and basically what happened was the day or two before, Gregor had gone to the training hall and he had shot like a video, I think Miso Clean and Jerk 218 and this training video a day or two before. And so Gregor had gone and done this training hall shooting. So in his mind, the GH5 was a single lens camera, which had training hall lens on it. And like, it didn't conceive of him to ever think like, oh, well, I should change the lens for the competition. Because he'd only shot the FC-1000, so he's just used to that.
And well, like, I actually tried changing the lens, though, but...
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Oh, God. I was so mad at myself after this. So mad.
How did the footage look? Is the footage usable? Was it no?
the day that Gregor shot most of it on the 14-140 training hall lens is pretty much useless, but... Once he put on the bigger, I mean, and to give Gregor credit, I mean, you know, I think like 8 of the 9 days he was there or whatever were shot correctly. It was just the first few sessions were just garbage.
But. Yeah, I think I shot the Fung Wan Ling snatch one with the save that got like the most hookup comments, wasn't it, with the bad video? Remember that one?
You know, I could pull it up real quick and I could just look, but that one did get a lot of comments, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, fun times. By the way, speaking of footage, so obviously this has impact on what we can do with ATG. I mean, not going to Junior Worlds. I was really looking forward to getting like fresh footage, or maybe some training. Even though training hall for Junior Worlds is not that important, but there's still going to be some good lifters. I know for you, Jen, you were hoping to get
some
footage.
Oh, I'm out of business.
You need some footage, right?
Yeah, I don't have, you know, the archive that you guys have, unfortunately. This was not a great year to start a business, apparently. So, I'm being dramatic. I can obviously go to more, events here in the States, and that's usually where I can sell the most stuff and I can do athlete drop-ins and all that. But it's causing me a great deal of stress. I'm not minimizing that.
Are you going to go to the Arnold now?
Yes, I am, which I vowed to never go to the Arnold. I mean, seems silly not to. Yeah. It's not that expensive of a trip. And
I'm mad at myself right now. I'm sorry.
Kate will be there. What?
Sorry, I'm mad at myself right now because I was supposed to be going to a Bundesliga competition today. There was one with Mohamed Ehab and one with Ritvas. And Ritvas, 2 weeks ago, he messaged me, hey, I'm in really good shape. I'm going to try to PR. I've been going 200 plus. I'm getting a bunch of background noise. I don't know if it's me or someone else. And I didn't go because then he told me, my back is kind of injured. My wrist hurts and stuff. I'm not going to max out. And just a minute ago, he messaged me that he did 159-200.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn, that sucks. So you missed the...
I'm saying, Gregor, you predicted that you would get miso'd, and you did.
That's what I said, right? In the beginning, I said I was going to get miso'd. Miso'd is when you ask a lifter what they're going to do in upcoming competition or in training, and they lowball it, and then they go pretty heavy or max out or do a PR, and you don't get any footage. And... that's what just happened with me and Ritvas. But he just sent me the video, which is cool.
What about, so you made the decision not to go to Malta too. Were you ever seriously considering it or was it not?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I was seriously considering it, yeah. But after seeing the start list, of course, there's always a bunch of good lifters. Maybe we could have done 3-4 videos from Malta. So far, the results have not been great.
Yeah.
Looking at the results. Don't know if you looked at them. But
So no Malta, no Bundesliga, no Junior Worlds. You could come to the Arnold if it's not too late. You get a last.
Don't you like doing the Arnold? You've done it a bunch.
I'm not going this year unless I need to go last minute or something, but I was not planning on going this year. I do think, I mean, if it were, I don't know. I think the Kate session will be okay. Maddie and Jenny battle will be okay. Meredith, I guess, is in pretty good shape or is looking forward.
As far as I know, Kate's not doing anything serious. She's just going. Like, I don't think she's going to do anything crazy, but I know that Maddie has to.
Maddie has
to do. Yeah.
Yeah. So Nat can't hear it. Maybe we should try recalling Nat. I wonder.
Yeah.
He's got a message.
Call Nat again. Okay. There's going to be more editing fun for Jen.
Yeah. I know, Jen. Well, sorry. Yeah.
I have so much time now.
Now, right? You've got all of March. We should. Maybe we should just.
Is ATG podcast. Looking to hire anybody?
Oh, sure. We're hiring. We're just not paying.
Can we roll what 1K into? I don't make money now anyway, so I'll give you everything. I'm not making out in this at all, just in that I get to come to these events still. Does anybody know the amount of time that the virus can live for? Do you know what I mean? Like
outside of
like airborne? Yeah. Like it's like a week?
No, I don't think it's a week. I think I saw somewhere like after a couple of hours, it's probably. But I don't know that anybody, I don't know how much we actually know.
Yeah. Because it would be interesting. I mean, that would greatly affect production, right? I mean, if something can live for more than a few days, like by the time it gets shipped to a different country.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite like that. But again, this was like something I'd read a couple weeks ago. So maybe people have revised it since then. And I don't know how much people really know.
Did you guys see about the incubation period of this? It's like 5 to maybe 14 days or something.
It can be long, yeah. It can be, it seems like it can be pretty long. I mean, what's interesting, like, and I think we talked about this in the text chat, but like, man, if this were really deadly, like, it shows,
this would
like,
be
we'd be screwed.
Bad.
We'd be so screwed. Like, and it's deadly for, you know, for the people who have compromised immune systems and people who are older. It has, I think, a mortality rate of like 2 or 3% or something.
Mm-hmm. But, wasn't there the doctor who died? He was like the first guy. I think he was maybe a Chinese doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
that
true.
Was like the first guy that was like, hey, this is going to be a problem. And then no one listened to him. And then he died, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Right. And he was my age as well.
He, like, was,
he was young.
Yeah.
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 Although I wonder, like, how
very young, like my age.
He was.
Really, really.
All right. Nat should be back in.
I'm back.
Okay, back in.
We were just talking about like incubation period for this and that we're happy that it's not like super lethal yet.
Well, we were saying how it affects, you know, it's affecting the stock market and then potentially like production. And we were asking what is the incubation period like if something were being shipped from China to somewhere else, if how long it can live for outside of the human body.
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, you know, the question of like how long it can live on surfaces and through what sort of environment and stuff it seems like super unknown at this point, you know?
Man,
yeah.
Bob, we are so lucky that we don't have a giant warehouse filled with stuff on the
planet. Well, the thing is that my stuff from China, like, left China before this happened. It's only future stuff that is a question. It's like, I am getting shoes shipped over from Anta. You know, do I have to worry that something that left China 5 or 6 days ago could have, like, virus on it, you know, if you touch it, you know, like, that's like a kind of a weird thing to think about, but it's, I mean, I don't know enough about the, you know.
Does the virus and the factory and the production have an impact on hook grip right now with the factories and people not working there or?
It doesn't really have a big effect on us yet. And you know, what's weird is that most of the factories that we deal with seem to be operating like almost like business as usual. Like, for instance, I'm getting some samples made for some new products that I want to get made at the same basically factory where our knee sleeves get made. I'm talking about our knit sleeves. And I also told them that I wanted to get some wrist wraps made that didn't have any logos on it, so we'd be able to do the printing in the US, either like DTG printing or even sending it to a screen printer. And they seem to say no problem. They're like, well, do you want it made right now, or do you want to wait till the samples are done? Blah, blah, blah. Like, because, like, you know, we're kind of thinking about ordering 3 or 4 different products, with one or two of them being new. So it's like, normally we go through a sampling process for the new one. So they're like, well, if you want, we could make the wrist wraps right now, or we could wait to make the wrist wraps until we have like the new products ready. And, you know, so it's like, they're not even saying like, oh, we can't make anything right now because of this or because of that. And there's like several other things that I'm either ordering from China or have an order in process. Like, we have some crew socks that are in process right now in China. And like, we've gone back and forth several times, but that's actually because of a labeling issue, not because of a warehouse issue sort of thing. So or I guess not warehouse, but factory issues. So it's weird. Like, they don't seem to be affected by it. They were affected by it for, I would say, like, the first week after Chinese New Year. Like, basically, Chinese New Year holidays were supposed to end around February 10th. Mm-hmm. That was when, like, basically, when I talked to, because I'm always in contact with these factories. Like, when I talked to them in mid-January, I remember asking them, because at that point, you know, people knew about this virus, but it wasn't clear exactly what would happen. I was like, you know, assuming that this virus kind of goes away or kind of gets contained a bit, you know, what's the schedule for, you know, being off? And they basically all said, like, February 10th, we'll be back to work. I think it was February 10th, but it was within a day or two of that. And then I would say most of them didn't get back to work until maybe a week later. So, you know, that was essentially the only real effect that we saw with the factories that we're dealing with. But I think it could affect some companies that have big operations in the hard hit provinces that are still under quarantine. You know, like, if you have a big factory in, like, the Hubei province and you're you know, trying to get back up and running, you might have, like, big problems, like, related to that.
So as of right now, I'm reading something. This was from yesterday. An analysis of 22 earlier studies of similar coronaviruses, inclusive of SARS and MERS, published on Lewis, concluded that human coronaviruses can remain infectious on inanimate surfaces for up to 9 days at room temperature. That's the other strains of coronaviruses. So they're currently trying to confirm whether this falls into that, but since it behaves very similarly to SARS in general, they're thinking that it's around 9 days, which is fucking crazy.
That's kind of an issue. I mean, to date, we don't have anything in our warehouse that left China in the period when this was going around.
Yeah. But,
it is a concern, you know. It's like, are we going to be spreading the virus by sending Antashus out? Like, I don't... I certainly hope not. I mean,
if it's a good enough shoe, maybe people are willing to make that trade-off.
I'll take that risk.
It's willing to take... Yeah. I mean... It is a good shoe, so, you know, but I don't know. I mean, it's a little bit of a concern. I mean, I wish that we had, like, clear answers. You know, it would be much better if it was like, all right, this is the answer. This is what you have to do, you know, spray the shoes with alcohol and then you're good, sort of thing. Or
it says that the other viruses, like, if you just use disinfectant, that totally, you know, gets rid of it. So I'm assuming if you can clean it or spray down the packaging or something, that you're fine. But again, if there's somebody handling it at the warehouse that doesn't have gloves on or touches their face in between those two times, I guess that's
or
still dangerous.
Wash their hands.
Yeah.
Again, super common. If this were, like, I mean, at some point, one of these diseases will probably emerge that has a, you know, mortality rate of, like, 30% or something. And just, like, imagining that scenario in light of this and this spread is just insane. Like, that
it's really scary. Like,
yeah,
how governments are dealing or not dealing with this.
I mean, China denied it for a while and then was forced to admit it. Our government appointed somebody who believes in prayer for curing disease. Like,
what?
Mike Pence? Yeah, our vice president is like a creationist who contributed to like an HIV
spread. Oh my God. Did you see the meme of it's like Will Ferrell holding a bunch of snakes in a church from the movie The Campaign, and it's like the first meeting of VP Mike Pence's coronavirus task force.
I mean, that's like actually what we're going to be either people not wanting to admit that it's a reality because, you know, governments want to look powerful and save face. Or governments who don't believe in science or have already gutted science programs or don't have healthcare. Like, the number of people in this country I personally know who just don't go to the hospital when they're sick because they don't have healthcare is already staggering. And I mean, this, like, we've.
And this does not even account for governments. Sorry, this doesn't even account for governments or like societies where a healthcare is much, much worse than in our countries. Yeah. Like Germany has great healthcare.
But people like Russia don't even cooperate with WHO. You know what I mean? They could potentially have a massive infection and they're not going to say anything about it. And China is also not even great at reporting information like that.
Well, also, you know, what's funny, too, is I was reading about how in Italy, the central government is essentially upset that the province or the not province, but like the area that's hard hit is testing too many people. And it's making Italy look bad because now people think that everyone from Italy has the virus.
Exactly. No, nobody 100%. Wants to be the province that has the highest numbers. And it's like,
I would anticipate it's got like if you get a percentage or a number that it's got to be like 30% higher than whatever that number they're reporting is.
Well, I think it's a lot higher than 30% higher. But the thing is that I kind of think that's what's going on in the U.S. I think like the CDC has been very reluctant to do widespread testing because I think they know that they would find like hundreds or thousands of cases if they were to really do widespread testing. But the trouble is now that you've kind of let this community spread go on in like the West Coast, and I'm sure it's going on in other places, we just don't know about it yet.
Yeah.
Now you're going to end up in a situation where, you know, you can't control it. You know, so it's kind of like, you know, if you want to get ahead of it, you need to do this widespread testing very, very soon. But now it's like too late, like because now community spread in these places. And what's crazy is that it's not community spread in like one community in like a small town. Like these are three different places.
Yeah.
That have like community spread cases. So who knows how many other people got it from them. And the thing is that this incubation period so long, I mean, you keep hearing stories about people who left the cruise ship in Japan, tested negative routinely, and then like they've been home for a week and then they go to the doctor because they have a cough and like they have it, you know?
Well, there was that woman, I don't know, this was public, pretty public, like yesterday or the day before, that actually in Northern California, very close to where I am, which is like, you know, the port of Asia, basically, that they didn't test her for like 3 or 4 days. And then she tested positive. So like they acknowledged that she seemed like she had coronavirus and they were like, just go home and don't talk to anyone. And then they tested her 4 or 5 days later. And she's like 5-10 minutes away from my gym area. So she's like in the community and walked around and went shopping, but like didn't have dinner with her friends, you know, and that was like how they handled it. And people were really pissed.
This really, I feel like nobody involved in handling this must have watched the HBO series Chernobyl. Cause this feels like we've learned.
Oh my God. Yes.
We've learned nothing. Like, a disaster happens and it's like, you know what? We should be transparent. We need to be open. We need to share information. And instead it's literally, I mean, it's, you know, it doesn't seem to be, you could argue maybe it's worse than that because more people have probably died already than from Chernobyl. But it's like, literally we have learned in 36 years, wherever it's been since Chernobyl, we have learned nothing about how governments should respond to widespread catastrophes or problems that are clearly like, cross border.
Is there this a roll landing on someone in the bay?
That's me. This is exactly how the virus-born zombie apocalypse is going to happen. If I've learned anything from movies,
I just like, watched World War Z.
Yeah, exactly. They're not undead zombies. They're like it came from a monkey somewhere, and then
somebody fucked a monkey,
mutated it. Yeah, that's how it's happening. It's this.
And also, Ned pointed out that there are like, cultures where just people are interacting on way different, on another level than what we are used to, with like holding hands, giving people kisses on like cheeks, left, right, maybe 5 times, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So in these countries, once it's there, it will spread like much faster. And also countries in Africa, probably, or countries like with like super high population density. I don't know, what's the situation in India by now? Has anybody heard of that?
I haven't heard anything about it.
I feel like that's another place that doesn't really report information to WHO, or CDC, or whoever.
I think that that India is pretty screwed. Especially, I mean, their health system is just not good enough to handle this. I mean, put it this way, I don't even think that countries with the best possible healthcare systems are good enough to handle this. because I think, you know, it's just too many people. Like, no one has enough, like, isolation units for you know, thousands and thousands of people to be sick. But in India, it's going to be even worse because they have basically none, you know, essentially no capacity. I mean,
so I'm looking at the latest WHO data, because if listeners, if you're wondering, the WHO puts out a daily report with, like, the new cases, and that's basically what all your news sources cite. So India has, like, 3 confirmed cases so far, officially confirmed cases, 0 death.
I don't know about that.
Germany 26, France 38, Italy 650, and 250 dead. No, 250 new. Sorry, not 250 dead.
So, and
17.
To your point too, Nat, like, even the countries with, so Japan, where that cruise ship was docked and quarantined, like, Japan has as good a healthcare program as you can find in the world, and to read their reaction on the cruise ship is, like, comically bad. So they had a case, or they confirmed having cases on the cruise ship, and they were like, all right, so we have coronavirus. We're going to have one last buffet and events tonight. So they basically got everybody together one last time for an environment which is, like, the virus was like, oh my God, this is, like, my personal cruise. Like, a bunch of people together sharing food, sharing utensils, and then they had, like, some shows and whatnot. And then they started the quarantine. And so, like, even the countries that have top-notch healthcare are doing, in retrospect, ridiculously stupid responses to the whole thing. I mean, like you said, the U.S., like, oh yeah, like, you might have coronavirus, go home, hang out, and then in a week later saying, wait, maybe we should test you, maybe you should come back.
So the article was called "We in a Petri Dish, How a Coronavirus Ravaged a Cruise Ship." So we're going to link this article in the show notes.
New York Times article, yeah.
It's a great reading.
So it's exactly why I'll never go on a cruise ship in my life.
Right, cruise ships. I've never been on a cruise ship.
Disgusting.
I mean, like, those places are petri dishes without an outbreak of some sort.
Right. And right.
Getting stuck on that? No, thank you.
If you've never been in a germaphobe before, after this podcast, you will be.
Apparently, Trump is a germaphobe. I wonder how he's actually handling it.
I mean, Trump is a germaphobe, but I don't think that he thinks that, you know, people around him are going to, I don't think he thinks it's going to end up being like the, like, you know, Iran leadership where everyone's got it. Mm-hmm. But the thing about cruise ships is I've been on a few of them and they definitely feel skeevy, even when you're in a nice cabin. Like, you know, I've been on cruises with, like, family trips, like, 20 years ago and stuff before I, you know, had money, basically when I was a kid. And, you know, we would stay in these, like, nice rooms with, like, you know, balconies and this and that, and it still just felt kind of, like, skeevy, you know? Like,
really?
You, like, just all, like, the eating and everything just felt like, you know, you're just, like, too close and too much interaction with other people. Like, I'm not a big fan of that. Yeah. It's one of the reasons that I don't want to go to the Arnold, because the Arnold is going to be 200,000 people from around the world. And, like, you kind of know that there are people that are going to be there who are going to be transmitting this.
Well, Jen is going, so
don't. Yeah. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Well, I mean,
well, don't we have?
I was going to say, if I was going to the Arnold, I would just take every precaution I could. I wouldn't be, like, giving people hugs. I wouldn't be, like, going up and talking to people that I don't have to talk to. I mean, I know that the thing is that. You know, your whole life you've been trained to, like, be friendly, be outgoing, go talk to people, ask how they're doing, ask how their training's going, ask if mm-hmm. you can, you know, get, like, what are they going to do later at training so you can get this and get that. Like, the thing is, like, I would just forget all that, and I would just go get, like, the good content on the competition platform. I would wear a mask. I would bring hand sanitizer. I would make sure. And by the way, I wouldn't wear a mask. Like, for me, wearing a mask has very little to do with avoiding breathing in the virus. Because the thing is, unless you're wearing, like, a full face thing, if someone sneezes near you who has it, it's going to, like, just get in through your eyes or some other way.
Totally.
So, like, I'm not wearing the mask to be like, oh, this is going to protect me. I would wear the mask literally as a reminder of myself not to touch my face.
Sure.
You know, and that's all that, I mean.
That's a good segue because we were talking about the masks before we kind of got into, what was it?
I'm sorry. That was, Rich was just 7,200. I'm listening, guys.
We brought up the masks before, how that was kind of, they're pretty much impossible to get. I actually got what seems like the last delivery. I can't reorder them, so I only have eight. I have two masks with a collective like 8 or 10 filters that have the little respirator in them. But if I go to the Arnold, I would not be taking pictures in the back room. That's like way too many people for me. I think I would just go in for like an A session, like shoot the A session and leave. Like, I'm not going to do my normal thing. I don't even know if I'll sell shirts, because that's a lot of, you know, shaking hands and interacting that I think is unnecessary. Because aren't there more international lifters at this Arnold than there was previously?
They're going to have, they had to have some because it's a bronze event. I don't know. Who's going from internationally? Do you know?
Somebody said Chumak was going. Is that true?
Chumak, that's right. Chumak is going. Yes. Maybe he's it. Somebody, I don't know. Is there a start list or anything?
Probably. I wasn't planning on going until an hour ago, so.
Going to the Arnold.
I have a couple places that I was able to, I actually ordered some masks yesterday. Some
you did?
I've masks yesterday. And there are places, if you want, I can send a link to you guys real quick.
Please do.
They're actually in stock there. Like, my order already shipped, and I ordered them yesterday, and my girlfriend ordered some. Hold on a second.
Even in my little supermarket here, people are starting to buy stuff like, what are these called? Oh, God, I'm blanking on the name. Like, stuff that's packaged in cans, like canned food. Is that the word? Mm. Yeah.
Non-perishable.
Yeah, I just sent you guys that link in the chat if you want.
Thank you.
But Nicole ordered some today, and I ordered some more yesterday. I already have some because I just have respirators already way before coronavirus, because I just have them for doing work around the Hooker Palace, because there's lots of times I'm doing stuff that I want a respirator. I want, you know, some sort of...
Do you have the regular 3M or the fabric ones? Because they were talking about that a lot. That the kind of like construction version that don't necessarily lay flush to your face are less effective than the like a fabric mesh.
I have some of these. Hold on, let me send a. Wait, can I send a picture on Skype? I can. All right, hold on. Let me take a picture of one of these. They actually are a lot better than how they look in the picture on the site.
It's going to be the picture for the podcast.
Hold on one
second. I mean, half this podcast is coronavirus now.
Which is perfect. It's the ATG. Some weightlifting and all things not
exactly
weightlifting.
And it is four adapters on. Hold on. I got to...
I'm trying to send the... wait a second. This will take a sec. I just took pictures of these masks. Trust me, they're good masks. Like, they seal really well against your face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just... I sent one picture, and I'll send the other one. They're like well made, and it's a well regarded company and everything. It's not some like cheap, you know, like fake N95 mask or whatever.
Yeah,
that's a serious mask. Jeez.
And there's people making a killing now selling overpriced.
Yeah,
I'll try to take a picture of mine. Mine look pretty different.
I mean, I'm looking at the box here, and these are actually made in the U.S. too. These aren't even made in China.
Let's see.
The irony of shipping in masks from the country that is the origin of the disease. You get a bunch of masks, and they've already been infected, pre-infected.
So beyond that, beyond doing business, for me, in terms of media, this doesn't have any... influence like on Hookrib, right? You have a huge library of stuff you haven't even posted yet.
I have plenty of footage. See, yeah. Jed, that to me, that one doesn't look like it would seal against your face that well. But
this one is super flushed against my face, and it has the carbon filter. And it has a little, if you can see that snap on the top, it's a, I don't know how to describe it. There's a piece of metal inside of it that like forms to the shape of your nose.
I got it.
It's definitely flat. I just have worn, you know, I've done like work in the house, and I've worn the regular 3M ones, and they're super uncomfortable, and I couldn't imagine wearing that for the entirety of the day, like shooting.
Also, Ned, so this, check out Jen's photo, and she's not even wearing hook grip socks.
I don't have...
Everyone else is wearing hook grip socks right now, Jen.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't have any, but to be fair, this. I had coffee in the hook grip mug this morning. Okay.
I don't even have a hook grip mug.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm actually wearing a hook grip shirt as well. I'm wearing my hook grip Italy shirt right now.
Nice. I'm going to put my Boffa shirt on.
Jen, the thing about these Moldex ones, that I know that's kind of a bad name for a mask, but this the mask that I linked you to, it's almost better, I think, because it's disposable. Like, the trouble with the mask is that, like, if you want to do anything, you definitely don't want to be, like, you know, getting it infected outside, then bringing it back inside, and then, you know, touching it, and then putting it back on. Because if anything, you're just going to make it more likely that you'll get a disease from it. But anyway, if you guys are in the U.S. and you want to order, like, this is one, like, it still says ship same day. I would expect this to say sold out within like 24 hours or less.
I mean, after we post this episode, it's going to be sold out. There's so many people listening to this podcast, as we know right now.
Greg's mom is going to be like, fuck, I got to buy some masks now.
Yeah, I definitely, because, I mean, let's say that these events don't get canceled. I don't have enough filters for, I mean, 8 filters total is not enough for the like 4 weeks I would be away for those 2 events, so.
So let's, if they don't get canceled, is there a point at which each of you would be like, you know what, I'm just calling it off myself, or would you go regardless?
I don't know, honestly.
I still consider going to Romania, just because I had something planned with Loredana, which unfortunately is not like a really long form. It's like, we didn't plan like to shoot multiple days, but yeah, so that's still on the table, and so I could still use some of my flights. I would have to buy new flights to fly back sooner, because I don't want to stay in Bucharest for like 13 days or whatever it was. It doesn't really make sense for what I could get. Like, I could get less than at a Bundesliga event.
I'm not writing it off. I mean, I really need that content, honestly. This is like the first day I've really seriously thought about this, so I don't know.
But Jen, which events were you planning on going to other than Junior Worlds?
Europeans and Asians.
Gotcha. See, I personally, you know, and Gregor and Bafa can back me up on this. I was saying like several days ago that I was like, I hope these all get canceled.
Yeah.
Well, the logical part of me that cares about my own health and safety does, but the other part of me that's like, I don't know what the fuck else I'm supposed to do, is a little panicked.
I mean, here's the thing. What's going to happen exactly if you don't post a lot for the next month or two? You know, you think everyone's just going to unfollow you and that'll be it?
No, but I don't know, like, what's that exciting in another few months between now and, like, next year?
You can post some of your training videos.
You know, it's not like there's a lot, but you can always do other stuff is kind of the attitude I have. It's like, okay, well, you know, I guess what I'm going to do then is I'm going to go, you know, fly to, you know, wherever, like, you know, Harrison and Jordan and Morgan are training, and I'm going to, you know, do some behind the scenes filming with them for a week. Like there's always other stuff you can do. You know, you don't have to rely on these competitions for footage, you know?
No, I totally, I mean, listen, I'm not going to just wither away and die. I'll absolutely adapt and figure something out. But that being said, like, I'm still relatively small, and these events are really, really helpful for me in terms of growth. You know, I get like a 3,000 or 4,000 follower bump every time I go, and I move a lot of product that way that I otherwise can't move that fast. So it's a bummer. I'm not saying that it'll ruin everything, but it's an obstacle.
Damn it.
But it's something, I mean, all of us have to deal, like, every company putting out weightlifting media, everyone has to deal with it. It's not totally. Like, oh man, Juniors is going on and I'm stuck at home. It's like, oh, there's nothing going on. So yeah, I do think anything you put out is sort of like, I mean, if a bunch of stuff gets canceled, we go from one of the most crowded periods competitively of weightlifting to like the start of what is essentially a 9-month, with the exception of the Olympics, drought in weightlifting.
Yeah.
Well, also, you got to remember, too, that one of the big events is the University Worlds, and that's supposed to be in Korea in the fall. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, there's no way that's happening anymore. That's definitely getting... at a minimum, it's getting moved.
Yeah.
Hopefully, it'll get moved to, like, Philadelphia, but, you know, we'll see.
Berlin applied to host it.
Exactly, yeah. That seems likely.
You're not getting it.
You know, like it is definitely a dead period, but part of
it forces people to be creative, like to do some other things.
Yeah, I think it gives us an opportunity to do other things. It gives us an opportunity to do, work through some of our backlogs of footage. I know Jen doesn't necessarily have a big backlog, but like, I know Gregor and I both have backlogs of footage that we can post. And, I mean, that's part of the reason why I haven't bothered to put out a lot of training hall videos, because I've just been busy. I haven't really been happy with the ones that I have had edited. So, you know, it gives me time to work on that and time to work on other stuff.
And I planned that in anyways, just we have this long period after the Olympics, and there's going to be a downtime. So I was planning for that.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
It's fun. I mean, listen, once you start working for ATG, you'll get access to all that stuff as well. So
yeah, clearly Gregor's got it figured out, so I'm not worried about it because I don't need to run 1K anymore.
Gregor actually started coronavirus. He was like, this fucking 1 kilo stuff.
This is what's going to take her out.
He's like, that's why he was sick in Rome. He was testing it out on himself. He's like, I'm patient zero, so... Whatever it takes.
That makes perfect sense, and it's working.
I mean, I personally think that what's going to happen over the course of the next, like, several months with coronavirus stuff is people are going to realize that it's not quite as deadly as they think it is. It's still deadly and still messed up, don't get me wrong. But, nice. Good picture, Gregor.
Thank you.
You know, don't get me wrong, it's still a bad disease, but I think people are going to realize maybe it's not quite as scary as some people think it is. Like, I don't think that the case fatality rate or whatever is going to be like 2%. Like, I think it's significantly lower than that. And then I think also what they're going to do is they're going to figure out some better treatment regimens for it. Not like vaccines, but they'll find, like, you know, basically better ways to take care of it, and it'll become less scary, and then people will start to be more willing to, like, take the risk of going on trips and stuff. But the question is like, when that'll happen? You know, is that going to happen in a month, or is that going to take 6 months? You know? Like, I don't think in a year people are going to be scared to travel because of coronavirus.
Right.
I just don't know when that period happens.
Yeah, nobody stops travel. Very few people right now, except for maybe immunocompromised, like, stops travel because of the flu. And the flu is similarly contagious, probably, and probably similar.
I mean, some people even travel having H1N1, and they make it through.
But yeah, no, the thing is that when I did that travel, first of all, I wasn't sure that I had it, but, you know... It also, like I said, it's the flu. Like, you kind of, like, you know, people travel when they're sick all the time. Like, you can't be scared of getting sick. It's a different thing to be scared of getting sick and be scared of, you know, ending up with, a lethal pneumonia, you know? Mm-hmm. It's two different things. So, I mean, for instance, I've been on trips with, like, Gregor, where I've been sick or Gregor's been sick, and we haven't, like, you know, set up a bubble for the other person, you know?
No. We just stopped kissing for a week.
Yeah. Out, you know? So whatever. It's disappointing, but...
Highlight of my trip.
And you start washing your hands at least once a day, so that helps. That definitely, you know, the morning hand washing.
Yeah.
Before you go to the bathroom or anything. It really cleans things.
Yeah, I wash my hands before I go to the bathroom, but not after.
You don't want to get it dirty.
Yeah, I want to get my penis dirty, you know.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
And with that, we are wrapping up another exciting episode of the ATG podcast, the podcast about all things not weightlifting.
I think we should put in predictions, though. Like, what do you guys think will happen? Do you think that all of the events will be canceled? Like, all of the continental events?
I think the Olympics is going to get canceled. I think everything's done. But I'm being negative.
I think all the events, I think the continental champs will be canceled, and probably all other remaining events, except maybe not some of this, like stuff like how much, I don't know how many bronze level events there are left, but I bet a lot of the small ones will keep going on, and like the Arnold, obviously, but I think the continentals will be canceled. The Olympics, I don't know. I think we'll know more in a month. If the landscape still looks like it does right now, then I think yes. If in a month we're more at a point of like, all right, we have a better sense of what's going on and it's slowing, or we realize like it's not slowing, but we're all accepting like this is a reality. Like there's a, you know, that's how it goes, then it won't. But if we're still in this place in a month, my guess is, yeah, Tokyo, something, or they'll do something about
it. Yeah.
Well, my guess is all the Bundesliga events in Germany will keep on happening as planned, which is what ATG will focus on. I don't know what you guys will do, but I'll be at Bundesliga covering my favorite lifters.
I'll be at the AO2 in North Carolina.
Great.
So if the Pan Ams are canceled, I'll be at the AO2, which will also be the Youth Nationals. So I might have gotten some cell phone videos from juniors. I guess I could do that. Otherwise, I do think, you know, it is an interesting, assuming these things get canceled, it is an interesting chance to think about, all right, what other stuff can we go film that people will want to watch? Which yeah, might be like you were saying, like, right, like luckily right now we have a lot of athletes in one. I mean, Power and Grace, you can easily knock out like three or four Olympians in one visit. Or I guess two Olympians probably in one visit, but that's pretty good. Like there are pockets of solid lifters in North America.
Yeah. By the way, I'm reading about the insurance policies that the Olympics hold.
Uh-huh.
And it sounds like they have some level of insurance for this stuff, even though it's not really clear exactly what their policy is. But it sounds like it could be very costly for some insurance companies, yeah, to the tune of like billions of dollars. But I'm not sure exactly what they would do for that. But yeah, it's. I'm just reading an article about like how it says. Sorry, I'm trying to read this article while I read this. But yeah, basically it says like the IOC has something like $800 million of insurance. Something like that. But then there's other insurance too. You know, like NBC has insurance. These other companies, other broadcasters have insurance, this and that. I would say that like working out the finances of that would be pretty complicated. But, you know, I guess we'll see what they do.
So it's going to be a rough year for insurance companies, and 1 kilo is what you're saying.
Yeah. The question is, though, let's say nothing gets canceled, let's say Euros and Asians happen, would you guys just go and just take the risk of potentially being quarantined in Russia or Tashkent for however long?
Yeah, I would do it.
Probably.
Yeah.
The thing is, I don't have like a big company to run. Like you have a hook group, you have a warehouse, you have things to, like I could afford, it wouldn't be great. Like, believe me, I would hate to be quarantined and stuff. But ATG would still be possible.
What if you have terrible internet?
Okay.
That's an issue.
I could just get a new Beeline SIM card in Moscow and then I'll be fine.
Yeah, but they're not going to let you out. Damn. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I mean, I think that that's the scariest part for me is like, what if I just have to stay there for a while?
Yeah.
And there's also, like I said, the concern of you could show up at the airport and you could have some sort of fever that's completely unrelated, just because like I get sick at the end of these trips way too often for me to want to risk being there. during a time like this.
Yeah.
Just because if I show up with a fever, and you know they're going to be temperature screening everyone, like that's 100% certain. So, you know, if you show up with a fever at all, then you're screwed, basically. You know?
I'm going to wait and see what happens, but with Pan Am's in Dominican Republic too, like, do I want to be quarantined in a Dominican Republic hospital? If that's the
case. I can tell you that you definitely do not.
I mean, I was assuming I do not. But also, like, aside from that issue, like, because I have two dogs, every day is also a cost of, like, all right, now I have to find somebody to take care of them when I'm now sitting in a hospital for, I don't, you know, 14 days, whatever it is, and pay for
that. But that's the thing, too. There's people, like, I was watching an interview with a Canadian guy who was on the cruise ship who's literally still in a hospital in Tokyo. Like, he's been out of Canada for something like 7.5 weeks at this point.
Insane. Just ridiculous.
And he's still not allowed to leave because his last test still came back that he was still, like, even though he has no symptoms and he feels totally fine, like, he doesn't have a sore throat, doesn't have a runny nose, doesn't have a headache, like, literally doesn't have a single symptom, he's still contagious. And so they can't let him leave. He's literally just sitting there, like, you know, giving interviews to, like, you know, people all day.
Well, I think they've realized now that the whole ship quarantine was actually a terrible idea, and they should have basically evacuated everybody immediately, which would have resulted in... I mean, the ship was basically a great way to transmit the disease to everybody on the ship, it sounds like. And right. Maybe they couldn't have known that in advance, but... You know, clearly we don't have good responses to any of this. And like the worst of our nature comes out in these sorts of things, and all our mistakes end up compounding the problem. So, yeah, I mean, if he had been evacuated immediately, he probably wouldn't have coronavirus and he'd be home in Canada 6 weeks sooner.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's because I'm just not quite as, like, I don't know if desperate's the right word, but I'm not quite as needing of content, but I think it's kind of crazy to...
Let's call it desperate.
Like, I think it's a little crazy to, like, take the risk of getting stuck in, like, hospitals and quarantine, all this stuff, with kind of, like, unreliable governments, unreliable healthcare, all that stuff. Like, I've been saying with Bafa and Gregor for a little while now, like, I'm really not that afraid of actually getting the virus itself, because I feel like for people of our age group, it's pretty low risk. And so I feel like that's not the biggest, scariest thing. The biggest, scariest thing is, like, being able to get out and get to, like, proper healthcare and get to like your home and stuff like that. You know, that, to me, that's pretty scary. But, and then again, you know, Gregor and I have been to Tashkent before. Like, we know what Uzbekistan's like. It's not like, you know, going to, you know, London or whatever.
It's not.
So, anyway, it's a bit of a concern. But I guess we'll see what happens. I mean, my prediction is that they will cancel these events, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm not booking any flights. I'll get my visa for Moscow. I don't need a visa for Uzbekistan. But yeah, other than that, I'm not going to book any hotels or flights just now.
I mean, let's be real, though. You wouldn't have booked hotels.
I was going to say, this is one time
come on.
When Gregor's natural propensity not to plan, he's like, see, look, this is why you wait until the last minute. Like, he's like, oh, I'm not going to book
anything. Pumping my chest.
Greg, it'd be like 3 days before in a year where there's no pandemic. You'd be like, oh, I still got to book a hotel. I still got to book my flight. I'm leaving in an hour. So it worked out for you this time, though. It did work out.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think there is like a net.
In the world of weightlifting, to not look crazy early. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I feel like Gregor takes it a little too far sometimes with, like, all right, well, you know, I'm leaving in 3 days. I better look into flight.
I can confirm that. Although, in the short time that I've been going to world events, a decade or so, like, they've been moved more times than I'm comfortable with. So,
I mean, my first Europeans ever was moved 3 times. You know, so I learned my lesson. Like, but the 2013 Euros were originally supposed to be in Valencia, Spain. Mm-hmm. And then for some reason, Spain didn't, want to do it or couldn't do it for the whatever reason. And then it was moved to Sofia, it was going to be in Varna in Bulgaria. And then it moved from Varna to Tirana, Albania. And then that's where it actually happened. And then, of course, Euros in 2018 were originally
in Turkey.
It was supposed to be in Antalya. Then Turkey's whole federation got banned. Then they moved it to Albania. And then Albania had positives from the 2017 Worlds, where the girl who, Romela Begaj, who competed with Maddie, she was positive or whatever. And so then the whole federation's, like, entire board resigned, and Albania was like, we can't do it. And then Albania took it on with, like, 6 weeks to go, and they couldn't put it anywhere good because of the late notice. So they literally held it, like, in Isvorani, which was this town that was, like, 45 minutes north of Bucharest that didn't have a restaurant within a 20-minute drive. And the only way that we even got any food was because Toma drove us to, like, this kind of, like, shitty supermarket.
Yeah, but Toma kept us alive.
Yeah, Toma kept us alive. That's why Gregor and I post Toma stuff a lot, because we're alive.
Forever dead.
Toma. He saved us from the Isvorani virus. But
oh, yeah.
Anyway, like, I've been in plenty of situations, and that's not it. Like, I can definitely come up with more situations where events have moved around, but...
I'm trying to think. So 2014 Worlds were moved within Kazakhstan, right? They were supposed to be Astana, then it became Almaty. 2015 was just always Houston. 2016 Rio, obviously. 2017 was moved from Peru to... Or was it Malaysia? It was moved Malaysia to California. First, yeah.
It was moved from Malaysia, yeah.
Okay, Malaysia to California. 2019, Turkmenistan. I think that was...
No. 2018
was Turkmenistan. Weren't they supposed to be in Peru 1 year?
Yeah, 2018 was supposed to be Lima, Peru, but then they were like, oh, crap, we spent all our money on the...
Never mind. So I'm in...
Ned, your audio is weird right now. It's just for me or for everybody?
Yeah, it's weird for me too. What are you saying, Nat? Did we lose Nat?
We lost Nat, I think. Well, then let's just end the podcast with this, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. All right, there we go. That was the ATG 1 kilo hook grip podcast update with four doctors on the coronavirus. So we should probably emphasize that none of us is actually a doctor. So don't. I mean, literally, don't take anything we said as in any way true about the virus. Like, talk to a real... If you're sick, if you're wondering about transmission, like, really talk to somebody with a medical degree and not people who...
Don't talk to your pastor or talk to someone who knows things.
Don't try to pray it away.
Don't pray it away, guys.
Do not. Like, please, see a real doctor, somebody with a medical degree... Preferably one that's like current and isn't suspended anywhere. Do not listen to anything we said because most of it was probably read off of like Wikipedia or the WHO page, which is actually good. But yeah, stay on top of it via other means.
And in the meantime, follow us on Instagram. That's at Ned Arum and Hook Grip, of course. Then at Dr_Boffa. It's Jenny M on Instagram, one word, and about it. No,
don't do that.
Okay, we're gonna cut this out. Don't follow it. And at @1_kilo_, these are the most important Instagrams. And ATG Insta, at ATG Insta,
at Jinsta, exactly.
At Jinsta,
and at Gregor. Is it just Gregor Winter? I don't even remember. Yours is just one word, right?
1972, Bubba.
Nope. And goodbye, everyone.